Hi, this is Joe Francik of Directions Media. Today we're going to talk to Brady Forrest of O'Reilly Media, and we're going to talk about Wear 2.0. We had a few technical glitches along the way, but bear with the conversation. I think you'll pick up the gist of what we're talking about. Stay tuned. All right, we're here with Brady Forrest, the conference chairperson of O'Reilly's Wear 2.0 conference. Great to talk with you, Brady. How are you doing today?
Great. Nice to meet you as well.
Yeah. Let's start with a little fun, and I'll give you a few lightning round type questions, kind of a Rorschach type response, and we'll just have a little fun and then get into a conversation.
All right.
Okay. All right. What do you think, Apple App Store or a BlackBerry App World?
Oh, Jesus Christ. obviously, no, App Store.
Okay.
I mean, you've got 150-some thousand applications versus maybe a couple thousand, and then, you know, if we're looking in the wear context, you have a very consistent core location API where every device is location enabled to some extent, some to a great extent when they have a GPS, whereas with BlackBerry, you know, inconsistent location API calls across the platform, you can't always get access to the location from the device. Sometimes you have to go to the carrier, so a lot less control for, like, the location-focused developer.
Yeah, that was too easy. Foursquare or Gowalla?
I have to put in a. I've known Dennis for Foursquare. That said, I've been Foursquare for quite some time. That's what my friends and I all compete on, but I was kind of already using Foursquare, and that's where my social circle is.
Right.
So. It really becomes a numbers game. I bet in Austin, Gowalla is just kicking ass.
Yeah.
And in New York, where Foursquare is based, they're probably, you know, it's more Foursquare town.
Yeah. Okay, here's another easy one, but might get you into trouble. Bing Maps, Google Maps.
That's actually not easy. Those two they are so neck and neck. It is the one place where I feel like Microsoft really gives Google a run for its money on the web. Unfortunately, I don't get to use most of the Bing Map, like the best Bing Map features, because I'm on a Mac. And although they've started using Silverlight finally, it's still not feature parity on a Mac. So I often end up using Google Maps for day to day and on the iPhone. And then, you know, if I kind of want to explore a town, I'll go and check out Bing Maps 3D versus Google Earth. It'll kind of go either way. But I really like the Bing Maps app platform. They've been able to do a lot of really rich applications with that. And when they release it to developers, I think it'll be pretty powerful.
You know, I actually think that they've made a significant improvement this time around. The ease of zooming in and out that the Blaze was showing was just incredible. So I think they made a substantial improvement to their platform with this go-around.
They definitely have. I think the problem that a lot of people are going to face is that old habits die hard. And, you know, I have Google in my preferences. And so that's kind of where I end up going.
Yeah.
I do check out Bing. That's their road to travel on, breaking people's habits.
Do you think there's a difference in an objective, consumer versus business, or mobile app versus web app? Do you think that they're trying to compete for the same space, or do you think they're approaching it differently?
They're both trying to appeal to the consumer. I mean, they're both running contests. They're both really investing in the consumer platform. It seems to me they're both approaching the enterprise. However, see, there's a lot of attention. They're both doing deals with ESRI. Microsoft seems to have a more established enterprise channel through Office and Windows, taking that route, working with the incumbent ESRI.
Right. Okay, I got one more comparison for you. Twitter and Facebook, what's the social app that you think is going to be more location relevant?
If Facebook comes out with a location platform this year, which I would just be astounded if they did not at F8 in April, then I think Facebook. The report came out recently that Facebook Mobile has more users than Twitter. That will be, more users than all of Twitter. I mean, that will just be a huge amount of location data. I think Facebook realizes it has this advantage, realizes they have the potential to really alienate their users, and so it's going to roll it out slowly. But I expect and hope to see news at F8 this spring. Twitter has a definite advantage, and is because of their open API, they are becoming a location platform for a lot of apps. But Facebook can just kind of come in and take away that lead pretty quickly, I think.
Yeah. Now, do the apps, Twitter, Facebook, whichever, do they offer something like a Foursquare? I mean, you can only have so many social apps that you want to use. And I'm just wondering, in all of this, fuzz out there, does it actually, do these things merge? Does one acquire the other? I mean, it just seems like there's too much for people to actually manage at one time. Just seems like the more popular one may win out from a location technology perspective.
I mean, I think there's definitely a place for the aggregator. So I've been a big fan of, say, Fire Eagle. There's a lot of different applications that I want to have my location. And I think the smart company is going to be the one that pulls off Fire Eagle properly. And the problem with Fire Eagle, which was Yahoo's location broker, where you could upload your location and then share it out, is the company that has a reason to have their location updated and then syndicates it out to all the different apps. And I see Twitter in a place to do that. Facebook is not as generous with user data. And so I could see Twitter sharing that data, via the API with Foursquare. So they actually work together, and it's more of an open ecosystem.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how Facebook handles that. Now, I think the dark horse in this race is Apple. They already can find out where any iPhone user is, as proven by the Find My iPhone feature. And, if you go on GitHub, you can find Sosumi, which is an open source Find My iPhone scraper that you can use to update Google Latitude or Fire Eagle. So Apple has the potential to launch those services to all their users and then become, Fire Eagle. And they bought PlaySpace last summer, which is a mapping company out of LA. So they're making investments in the geospace. And it'll be interesting to see how they try to capitalize on that.
Right, yeah. And yet Yahoo, Fire Eagle, doesn't seem to have garnered the recognition that maybe it could have. I don't know where their missteps were, but
Well, I think the reason that it had those issues is because there was no reason to update it. There was no necessary way to update it. So I think it becomes not so many people are like, I want to update my location inherently. There has to be this other drive, and Fire Eagle was, I think, hard for people who are even some developers and product people to grok. What do I do with this? You had to have that initial drive, and then once people start updating their location, they can then, because of like one reason, either become the mayor or to update their friends, or just less likely for analysis of where they've been or where they go, then they can start to have all these secondary add-on features that come about from tracking their location data.
Right, right. And yet I'm wondering if there's some repercussions to all of this. We just had on our podcast, Dean and I discussed the kickback, the repercussions of why would I want to share the location, and if somebody's applying for the job, they've got to go through they may be subjected to a search of their whereabouts at any particular time. So, I just wonder if that's kind of the barrier that some people may eventually face.
I think some of that is generational. Younger people seem to be more inclined to share rather than not share. And I think in a lot of ways, it's up to the companies to protect their users from themselves.
Right.
And to keep them safe from themselves. So enabling very clear, you know, controls over who they're sharing their location with, purging the data, you know, giving the users options to purge data, and basically letting the user have control over their location information.
All right. Let me switch gears to talk about WARE 2.0 this year. It seems like you set up the conference to really isolate some of the converging elements that are populating the space. So let's talk about some of the convergence. You know, you've got it set up where it's a mobile, local, and just, you know, plain mapping apps. You want to comment on why you set it up that way, or what led you to propose the conference and sort of expanding from a single session to three sessions?
Well, we still have single session in the morning. So we have two full mornings of single track that cover the gamut of those different areas. And that's when you're going to have Foursquare and Gowalla and Twitter and Google and Bing all talking. And then we wanted to provide deep dives into those different areas because the space is growing and there's a lot more to cover this year, we felt, than in previous years. So we decided to try and expand into the three tracks. We also have the workshops on the previous day. And we found that those were, you know, those are also segmented out by those different areas, and those did pretty well. Now, mobile does not exist in a vacuum without mapping, and mapping is increasingly relying on mobile data. So I would not expect any one talk to not mention the other two or have references to the other two. It was just a good umbrella to bring in more content. And for example, we've got the Yelp mobile product guy talking in local. So it's a mobile angle on the local space. Augmented reality talks are happening in each of the different tracks.
Right. So let me just pick up on that, because augmented reality seems to be a bit hyped these days. What do you think needs to happen to go from the kind of the whiz-bang nature of the app to actually supporting something like navigation, or does it more lend itself towards location-based advertising? You know, where do you think it's trending? Where do you think it's going to head to, and what maybe can be addressed at the conference?
I think that it's apps like Monocle, Yelp's AR view, that are going to make people want to use augmented reality and make them see the value. If I can look down a street of restaurants and suddenly just hold up this one view that lets me see reviews on different restaurants, or say take the Foursquare data on their, you know, hopefully someday AR view or Facebook, and see where my friends are. You know, I know my friends are in a bar here somewhere. Where's the bar? I think those are the things, that utility is what's going to drive AR adoption and use. And then you will have increasing niche applications, like, you know, the New York Tube map, or how to repair my washing machine app, or actually, this isn't really niche, but like Wikitude, you know, which overlays Wikipedia data articles on sites. Whenever I've played with that, I haven't found that many, even, you know, in Seattle. Those initial, like, where are my friends, where am I going type apps that are going to drive this adoption. And it's going to become one of the default views. So you've got street view, you've got satellite view, and then you'll have kind of this real-time data overlay view, aka augmented reality.
Right. Anything I want to ask you about, and you mentioned it earlier, is kind of the kingpin in all this is Apple. I don't think I saw them on the agenda, but it brings up an interesting question of who is who's the gatekeeper, because it could be Apple, it could be one of the carriers. And I didn't see any of the cell carriers on the program, and I'm wondering if that was either by purpose or whether they're just, you know, one segment removed from you know, our niche and location technology.
Well, we actually are the Wave Market, who provides location data to carriers, is on the program, and then we're actually in talks with AT&T. Yeah. To have them be on the program. you know, in a lot of ways, the carriers have been disrupted because they don't provide location to developers. And so the people, it's really coming down to the OSs. And that's where we have Nokia. We have people talking about Apple. And we have Android talks. And those are the people that are going to determine basically developer states. It'll be interesting to see what happens with the new app store that, say, AT&T and Verizon are planning and how they end up exposing data and what type of uptake those applications get and whether or not it can kind of put carriers back in the center of things.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. Yeah, okay, so one last question I wanted to address is, you know, the still keeping with this area of convergence, you know, from the location side, a lot of technology grew up from the GIS providers. Then you had the other side of the fence where, you know, Google, Microsoft kind of stepped into this and more from the consumer side. Do you feel like, you know, the conference is bringing the two sides together, or is there still a gap, whether it's a business gap or a generational gap? And you know, is this a healthy thing? I mean, you got ESRI, you got Jack on the agenda, and then, you know, you got you know, some of the younger generation on. Where do you see this convergence eventually ending up, and is the conference becoming something where the converged groups actually meet and meld together?
I think that it is converging. I think you're seeing, you know, ESRI move to the web, and we're seeing Navtech starting to offer up their own APIs. And merging with Nokia, you know, which is arguably a newer player in this space and bringing the web ethos with them. And then you've got web-based plays like FortiusOne, which is, you know, in many ways trying to be ESRI of the web in terms of focusing on enterprise and providing true analysis tools, but solely web-based. And then you've got, you know, Google and Bing also, you know, trying to address both consumer and enterprise, realizing that consumers want to be able to do a lot of the analysis. It just needs to be a lot simpler and have less domain-specific language about it.
Right.
So I like to think that where's been at the, you know, one of the driving forces for helping to get those two groups together. We've had Jack every year, and I think his presence has been very important for, you know, bringing awareness of the way things are already being done to, you know, this new base of neo-geographers, as they call them, as.
And yet, actually, from the other side of this standpoint, I mean, Tim O'Reilly has kind of stepped into the enterprise space. You know, the initiative with Gov 2.0 is, I think, a great initiative in trying to push government to be more proactive in utilizing technology, and certainly location is part of that. So, you know, those kind of initiatives offer up a lot of food for thought in terms of where this convergence is going.
Agreed. Yeah, the Gov 2.0 angle has become really interesting because I don't think we ever really considered government speakers at our conferences a couple of years ago. It just wasn't really available. They weren't participating in the conversation. They weren't lending, you know, they weren't really making themselves available to third-party developers and to companies in the way that they are now. But this year, you know, we've got Mark DeMolder from the National Map, and we've got Chris Vane, the CIO of San Francisco, coming to talk to all of our developers and companies, basically say what their government initiatives are going to be and how the private industry can participate.
Right, right. And how they can be more responsive to citizens in delivering, you know, the mm-hmm. services they need to do. So, yeah. Well, great. Thanks, Brady. I really appreciate your time. No, this has been just a great overview, and I appreciate your insights.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Thanks for joining us today on another Directions Media podcast. Tune in next time and be sure to tell a friend.